Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Health Suite with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. Today I speak to Dr. John O'Shea, co-founder of Good Pharma Dermatology, about common irritating skin conditions that can cause unbearable itching, and we'll talk about how best to manage them so they don't interfere with our day-to-day activities. Welcome to the show. Talk to us. Introduce us to these common skin problems that maybe someone who doesn't suffer from it doesn't understand.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Clarissa, for the introduction, and thank you for having me on the show. Skin conditions in general are very common. They affect an awful lot of the population. Mm-hmm. This is true in Singapore, in Europe, in America, and really all over the world.
Right.
And when you think about it, it's not that surprising. The skin is actually our largest organ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exposed to the outside world, right? So it suffers a lot. It's exposed to the pollutants, the UV from the sun, everything. But when it comes to the most common skin conditions, one really rises to the top, and that's eczema.
Mm-hmm.
And we can explain a little bit more about what that is later. But eczema is it's a rash that affects the skin. In Singapore, it's particularly common.
Mm.
It affects around 20% of kids in Singapore, around 11% of adults. And that's research that was done locally here in Singapore to look at the number of people affected.
That's quite a few.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, when you think 1 in 5 kids in particular, you know, in any schoolroom in the city, you've got 1 in 5 kids suffering with this condition. And it can have quite a big impact on their lives as well.
Because you're annoyed all day.
Well, precisely. It's an extremely itchy condition.
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, I'm lucky, thankfully, I don't suffer with it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having spent time with people who suffer with eczema and read about it and read around it, you see that the suffering can be immense. And itch is one of the most common symptoms of it. And you can just imagine, I mean, if you've ever had a mosquito bite, you know how bad itch is and how hard it is not to scratch that itch. Now imagine having that pretty much every day of
right.
your life. And then, you know, you can appreciate, even for those of us who don't have skin conditions,
mm-hmm.
we can appreciate how miserable that must be.
Okay, with eczema, is it contact-based? Is it an allergy-based? Why so many children?
Yeah, that's a good question. And in fact, you know, one of the issues around eczema is a lot of people think you can pick it up from people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even younger kids will shy away from socializing with a kid who's got a rash,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they think, oh, there's something wrong with that child.
And
maybe
I could pick it up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, are they dirty? Have they not washed or something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All these terrible ideas. None of which is true. It's a genetic condition at its heart, actually. So we have it because we've inherited it from our parents. But I don't want you all to go blaming your parents. Yes, it's not their fault. They were also born with that set of genes, but we pass these genes on to our offspring. But the complexity of eczema, like many other medical conditions, is that it's not as simple as just having the gene. It's the interaction of your body, which is based on the genes that you have,
mm-hmm.
with the outside environment. So with, you know, whatever you're exposed to as a baby, as a child growing up, and as an adult. And it's that exposure that can lead to what we call flare-ups of eczema. So it might be quiet much of the time, but then maybe you eat something, maybe it's the haze period in Singapore, it flares up,
mm-hmm.
and you get a rash, and it gets itchy, and it gets angry and annoying.
Okay, now one of the things that we've noticed, and I've spoken to other individuals, other medical professionals, you know, eczema is on the rise. It's becoming more and more common. That can't all be down to genetics. And somebody has suggested it is because we are becoming cleaner.
Yes. Yeah. There is this theory out there. Now, look, nobody's quite managed to prove whether this is true or not. But you do have seem to have a greater prevalence,
mm-hmm.
Which measures how common the disease is in developed countries
right.
versus developing. And of course, traditionally, typically, developed countries are a bit cleaner than developing
mm-hmm.
countries
mm-hmm.
because we've taken care of the basic needs of life, and then
sure.
we move on to having, you know, very pristine and tidy and washed homes
right.
That are air conditioned and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a possibility, but we're still really trying to work out why it is more common now. And in fact, these patterns are very hard to work out because it's, as I said, it's an interaction. It's the interaction of your body with the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so much has changed over, even if we look at the last 50 years in our environment, the foods that we eat are very different. You know, we eat a lot more probably processed foods, a lot more sugar. You know, could that be part of the story? Well, it's the subject of ongoing research, so we don't quite know yet.
So we don't actually have an answer. Yes, exactly. What we do know is more and more of us are getting these conditions.
And it's a problem that needs to be helped, right?
So is there something that, I mean, you know, we go, this is a problem, this is a growing problem, especially with children. Is there something that we can do to avoid it before we talk about treatment? Is there something we can do to avoid it? Can we, well, I suppose it doesn't work to have cleaner homes because that seems to be one of the things you're targeting as a reason for the rise of this. So should we get dirtier than?
It's an interesting thought because the way that theory works is that because our environment is so clean, especially when we're very young, that we don't get exposed to enough allergens and dirt and stuff that would kind of stimulate our immune system and help it to be more robust.
Right.
Basically to train it better.
Right.
You know, and of course, like anything else, if you don't practice it or train at it, it doesn't get strong. So that's the hypothesis. Now, in that hypothesis, yes, maybe we should be a little bit less clean at home, but I don't want to frighten your listeners into ditching all the cleansing products.
It's interesting because I look at my mom, who was a medical professional throughout her career, and through all the bugs and illnesses and ailments and allergic reactions, whatever all of us had as we were growing up, she never got ill. And she always used to say, that's because I have a very strong constitution. But there has to be something to that. But
yeah, it could also be her exposure over time. Her immune system was just, you know, very well practiced, very well developed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a theory that makes a lot of sense. You know, of course, it has to be proven in the long run, but it certainly is very rational. And to me, it makes sense. Now, you know, in practical terms, of course, what can we do? Mm-hmm. There is some research that shows, let's say, if I'm a mom or a dad and I have eczema and we're starting a family, right? And maybe my partner has eczema too. If both of us have eczema, it's pretty much guaranteed the kids will have eczema.
Right.
If only one of us has it, then it's a lottery. You know, each time it's, you know, maybe there's a percentage chance that this particular child will have eczema. But what some researchers have found that if you, even after straight away after birth, you start moisturizing your baby very regularly, that you may be able to reduce the probability that they go on to develop eczema. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, it may not be quite as bad. Now, this is still quite early research, so let's see over time. But what I would say is it's a harmless activity. It's time-consuming to moisturize a baby twice a day, but it's good for their skin, whether they turn out to have eczema or not. So you kind of can't go wrong if you're a parent with eczema in moisturizing your baby from birth. And what they've done is like twice a day. So, but of course, most of us, you know, are not going to do that. We'll reach a point where our baby, you know, comes out in a rash, or maybe we've never had eczema as a child, and as an adult, we develop a rash and we go to the doctor and we say, hey, what's this? And the doctor says, oh, I think you have eczema. I think your baby has eczema. And then you're right, there are certain things we could look at to prevent. Mm-hmm. And when I say prevent, it is really because eczema is something that comes and goes.
Sure.
It's like the tides, you know, it waxes and wanes. And so what we want to try and do is reduce the frequency of the bad times, the flare-ups. And what can we do to do that? Well, we have to basically try and protect the skin, because in eczema, what's wrong is the very outside layer of the skin, which we call the skin barrier, is not working quite right. So it's more porous. So the water evaporates. That's why the skin dries out. Mm-hmm. And irritants can get through that more porous barrier.
Right.
And that's what triggers your immune system to react and creates the rash and the inflammation and the discomfort and the itch. So anything we can do that strengthens our skin's barrier, which is basically moisturizing, will help.
Okay.
So even between flare-ups, you know, and that's a good preventative measure. But the other thing we have to think about in prevention is all of the products that we're exposed to during the day. Now, some are obvious. You know, you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands, you know, you know that soap, maybe, you know, my office doesn't buy very expensive soap, so it might be quite, I wash my hands and it's quite harsh. Because, yes, some soaps are very drying for the skin.
Right.
And so you have to start to think about all those products and say, can I use a more gentle version? So let's say, here it's something that in my current professional capacity at Good Pharma Dermatology, we've developed with one of the dermatologists at National Skin Center, Dr. Mm-hmm. Tay, a range of products that are suitable for people with eczema-prone skin, right?
Okay. So
in terms of our body wash, for example, it's using ingredients that are much, much less likely to dry and irritate and a sensitive eczema-prone skin.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, if you're somebody with eczema, you really have to think of everything I'm exposed to in terms of prevention. So it might be what I wash my body with, it might be mm-hmm. what I wash my hands with, but it might also be the detergents that I use to wash my clothes, even the detergents I use at home to wash the house, because there's still residue of that left in the house, you know, that I'm exposed to. So, and then the other thing in prevention is that whilst eczema, it's not, and it's not caused by allergies, but
could there be triggers?
Yeah, there are certain foods mm-hmm. that are very common triggers.
Mm-hmm.
So allergies are more common in people with eczema. It's not a cause, but they go very closely together. Just like asthma is more common in people with eczema. Hay fever is more common in people with eczema. They're all very allergic conditions.
We're all allergic people.
Yeah, we're all allergic people, yes.
We're speaking to Dr. John O'Shea, co-founder of Good Pharma Dermatology. Okay, before we talk about some of these products that your company has come up with, which I think is very interesting to a lot of us, what is the difference between eczema and psoriasis, for example?
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. Eczema is by far the more common mm-hmm. of the two conditions. Eczema, as I said, is this problem with your skin barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still working out exactly what the condition is almost. There's so much research that we've done, but also so much that we need to do. So we know the skin barrier doesn't work properly.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that people with eczema, their immune system is a little hyperreactive,
mm-hmm.
if you will. So all of the things that get through that broken barrier, they cause a reaction that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then it really, the immune system should calm down.
Chill.
A bit. Yeah, it should chill, but it can't. It doesn't know how to chill. So these are the two problems in eczema.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in psoriasis, it is an immune disorder. So it's actually your own immune system attacking some cells in your skin.
Right.
And causing them to malfunction, if you will. So they overgrow, they start growing too quickly. And you get these buildup of cells, and it creates actually the rash in psoriasis. You can feel it. It's not flat, it's raised
mm-hmm.
because the skin is overproducing these cells. So you get this
right.
raised rash. And it occurs in different parts of the body, like in the scalp, for example. Psoriasis is much more common.
Mm-hmm.
Eczema in adults, at least, often affects maybe the fronts of the elbows, the backs of the knees, the chest, and maybe around the hairline, place like this.
Right.
So they are similar in that they both involve the immune system, but different in the kind of ages at which they happen. As I said, eczema very common in children,
mm-hmm.
but also
do they outgrow it?
Some do. Yeah, some kids are lucky and they outgrow it. So maybe it comes to 3-4 years old and
no more rash.
And okay. those are the lucky ones.
Lucky, yes.
Whereas psoriasis actually is much less common in kids, and often it appears maybe as a teenager.
Mm.
It can appear at any time in life, but often appears as a teenager. And this leads people to wonder, is there something else that might be causing psoriasis?
You know,
might there be something? Have we been exposed to a virus or something that nobody has yet discovered? Yeah, one of the many wonderful questions that are the subject of ongoing research in psoriasis. The third condition we should probably mention is just dry skin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is something that might affect, you know, some of your listeners might say, well, I don't have eczema, I don't have psoriasis, and great, that's great news. But you might still get episodes of dry skin.
Dry, flaky skin. I think a lot of us suffer from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
it's
very common. I mean, it might be the environment. You know, again, mm-hmm. if you're inside in very, very dry air-conditioned environments, your
mm-hmm.
skin also dries out, of course.
Right.
You know, if you probably work on an airline. The air in a plane is very dry. But also, if you let's say you work in a hospital, you're washing your hands all the time. That can be very drying on the skin. Or older people, because as we get older, we produce less sebum. It's
mm-hmm.
Like an oil that our skin glands produce, and it's like a natural moisturizer. We produce less of it, so our skin gets dry much, much easier, and that can lead then to a lot of itch and stuff. So, you know, actually just the plain old dry skin is another, we could consider it as another common skin condition.
Okay, so let's talk about Subum. This is
Great.
Something that your company has developed.
Correct.
What relief will that give people who suffer from these awful itches?
Okay, well, I think the first thing I should say is, yes, our company has developed it, but We've done this as a collaboration with Dr. Tay at the National Skin Center.
Okay.
So I really need to give Dr. Tay 100% of the credit for the brains behind this in two ways. One, he actually sees patients day in, day out in his practice.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's very good at is seeing the needs of patients that are not being met with whatever treatment they're currently on.
Right.
And something he discovered a couple of years ago is itch is a major issue for patients that doctors were not giving adequate consideration or weight to.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to Suban, we have some creams and a spray for the scalp, for example, and they're all about relieving itch.
Mm-hmm.
Using an old-fashioned and simple ingredient called menthol.
Okay? Right.
So I think we've all come across menthol. We might have eaten it in a mint sweet.
I use it in my soap.
You use it in your soap. There you go. Or we've all used maybe Mopico or Tiger Balm.
Right.
All of which contain menthol, albeit at higher concentrations.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Tay realized from the research and from his own practice that a low dose of menthol in a moisturizing base is extremely effective at stopping the itch. And so it will, you know, help you sleep at night if you wake up itchy. It'll help you kind of reduce the torment of the itch if you're scratching during the day or at school or whatever it is. So a simple intervention can have a huge effect on people's quality of life. And so this was his idea, but not content with just having an idea, he put it into practice and he tried it. You know, tried this in his own patients at National Skin Center. And then seeing the success, we partnered to make that available outside. So I feel like merely the vehicle of making Dr. Tay's inventions available to people in Singapore.
And I think that's wonderful because I started this interview by saying that I do suffer from eczema. Everyone in my family does, actually. So yes, it is genetic.
Yes.
But one of the things that when we have very bad flare-ups, it's been oral, even steroids.
Yes.
And steroidal creams and things like that. So what you're talking about is actually a lot less harsh for us in the long run.
Correct. It's, you know, steroids have a very bad press, I think. A lot of people are worried about side effects. And of yes, they are drugs that need to be treated with a lot of respect and caution.
Sure.
As a doctor, originally, of course, I see they can be very useful when used appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. The less we use of them, you know, the safer it is. And if you stop the itch with something simple like Suban, then you don't scratch as much. If you don't scratch as much, then you actually don't damage the skin as much. And you can get control of your flare-up easier mm-hmm. if you don't damage the skin so much, right? Because
right.
it also won't tear, it won't get infected or any of these issues. So reducing itch really helps, but with Suban, the menthol is also in a moisturizing cream, so it helps you really to increase the frequency of your moisturizing. And the more often you moisturize, the better the result. It's a very simple thing.
Right.
But of course, moisturizing is a pain. I mean, like anything in life. You know,
well, most girls are quite used to it.
It's a burden. Yeah.
We're quite used to it. It's something that we accept. Is it available everywhere?
In Singapore, we're very widely available. So you'll find us at Watson's, at Guardian, at Unity, at all of the restructured hospital pharmacies, polyclinic pharmacies, and also with a number of private clinics.
And it doesn't require a prescription.
It doesn't require a prescription. So it's something that you can use all the time.
Okay.
You know, when, of course, you need your steroid or you're having a bad flare-up and you need to go to your doctor,
mm-hmm.
you still need to do that. You know, that is important to do and to do it in time. You know, don't let this problem get out of hand. The earlier you intervene, the better. But using tools like Suban, washing, let's say, with our wash, which is ultra gentle as well,
mm-hmm.
these are things that can help prevent and help minimize the number of flare-ups and also then the amount of steroid you need to use if you have a flare-up.
All right. This has been a great conversation. We've been speaking to Dr. John Ashia, co-founder of Good Pharma Dermatology, about common irritating skin conditions, with the suggestion of trying Suban because it may just fix it for you for longer periods of time between flare-ups. Thank you so much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.